I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Well, this is going to be a tough one today as all guests appear on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We bring on Aditi from Pittsburgh in the NFL Network. Aditi, how are you?
You got to click on her.
You know, he doesn't know how to do that.
Welcome
got
to
it?
The show.
Do you know how to do that? Figure that out.
So was I saying good morning to nobody, basically?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
We didn't hear it. Yeah. Deaf ears.
All right. Well, I did say good morning. I was very polite about it.
All right. Have you given any of your children a Pittsburgh Started It t-shirt yet?
No, I have not. Although the NFL Network did put up a picture of my son wearing a Pittsburgh shirt and my daughter wearing a Browns onesie.
That's cute.
A house
then
divided.
Twitter went crazy and said, do not do that to your child.
We might have to call social services on that.
Meaning,
one.
Meaning, do not do that to my daughter, child.
Aditi, how did the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Browns with a third string? I said third string quarterback, but I've been corrected. People said point fourth string.
Well, let's just to reiterate. In the spring, 2,880 players are signed to NFL contracts. Duck Hodges was not one of those 2,880 players. The kid went undrafted. He went unsigned. He was invited to have a tryout with the Giants. The Giants said, no, thank you. He then was given a tryout with the Steelers, who said, okay, we'll bring you in as a camp arm. After training camp, they sent him home, and he was sitting in Alabama on his couch. It wasn't until the Steelers traded away Josh Dobbs a week into the season that he came back to the Steelers practice squad, and then Ben got hurt, and he was promoted. I mean, this is a guy that nobody wanted. He didn't go to the combine. He didn't get signed. 3,000 players get signed, and he didn't get signed. Then he climbed the Steelers out of a 10-point hole on Sunday against arguably one of the most talented lineups in the AFC.
Boy, that has a real. I have a real problem with hearing that. Aditi Kinkabwala joining us on the show.
I mean, are you disagreeing, Ken?
No, I'm just starting to think how many people would rather another guy from Alabama be on that couch instead of Devlin Hodges. Aditi. Ooh. The problem that I had with it was, did he do it or did the Browns just allow it to happen in that football game?
I don't think that that's fair to say. I think that, you know, it's not like the Browns weren't playing defense.
Yeah, but I have a narrative to push, so.
Well, no. I think that, you know, the Steelers, it wasn't pretty. At no point, you know, and this is something that we've kind of talked about here in Pittsburgh for the last day. The Steelers last year had an absolutely dominant six-game win streak. I mean, they dismantled the Carolina Panthers. It was a beautiful streak. That was with Ben Roethlisberger and James Conner and Antonio Brown. They've now won 6 of 7, and it's sort of very surprising, really, because they don't look good. But what they are doing is with this absolute patchwork roster. I mean, this is another thing that I looked up yesterday. Every single player on the Steelers Sunday who had a pass, a catch, or a run, other than the two tight ends, had less than 3 years of experience in the NFL. I mean, who are these guys? One of the linemen was joking, like, okay, I finally know everybody's name. Let's not change it again. But they're somehow managing to find ways to win. They're coming up with a play when they need to come up a play. Duck Hodges throwing to James Washington, putting a ball where nobody else could really catch it multiple times. Those are the things that are sort of happening, coming up with the big plays. That didn't happen on Sunday for the Browns. And we've seen so much offensively from the Browns, so much good over the three-game win streak, really over the course of the last month. And then the Steelers were somehow able to defensively shut down Nick Chubb. And that's huge. If you take away the Browns' ability to run the ball, then the whole play-action pass game is affected. Then, you know, some of the things that we saw earlier in the year arise again. And you have to give credit there. The Steelers' offense is a head scratcher, but the Steelers' defense is indeed very, very good. And the Steelers' defense at home is really, really good. I mean, coming into the game, 30 of their 38 sacks had been at home. That's something that I'd actually talked about with Freddie Kitchens, how much better they are at home. 9 of their 13 interceptions had been home. And then they had another 4 sacks on Sunday. And here's a really little bit of trivia to take with you the rest of the year. When the Browns give up more than 3 sacks, they don't win. So now 4 times this year, they've given up more than 3 sacks. They are 0-4 in those games.
Aditi Kankabwala with us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How bad does that make Freddie sound then, where you have guys who barely know each other able to win 6 of their last 7 or 5 of their last 6, whichever way you said it, but then Freddie yesterday talks about how young the Browns are still. I don't think that's a good excuse in Week 14, Aditi.
You know what? But I will defend that statement only because I lived that in Pittsburgh as well. There is truth to that. When you don't have strong leadership, when you have guys that are still finding their way to leadership, that's what happens. When I came to Pittsburgh, the first 2 years that I was here, the Steelers went 8-8 both of those years. And there was plenty of talent on those teams. The issue with both of those teams is that the Steelers had gotten rid of all of their leaders basically at once. So Hines Ward and Smith and Hoke and Kiesel and all these guys were kind of just gone very, very quickly. And you had some older guys like James Harrison and Troy Polamalu, but neither of them were really kind of, you know, like a Hines Ward type personality, a guy that just made everybody show up and be a professional and do what they were supposed to do when they were supposed to do it. And the Steelers suffered as a result of that. And it wasn't until some other guys kind of took the reins a little bit and stepped up in those roles. And I would argue that you've probably seen some of that. As the Browns turned things around and went on that 3-game win streak, you probably saw some more leadership from a guy like Joe Schobert or Jarvis Landry or maybe even Sheldon Richardson. You know, I'm not there every day, so I can't necessarily say it with total conviction, but I think that you're seeing it more. And at the end of the day, and this is something that Jarvis Landry said to me last week, is, you know, it's like, what's the catalyst? He was talking about, I think the number was something, was 70 penalties in the first 7 games and then 24 penalties in the next 4 games. Something like 17 turnovers in the first 7 games, only 1 in the next 4. This is leading into the Steelers game. So I said to Jarvis, what changed? And he said, well, you know, the coaches were really stressing. I said, come on, there's no way that they weren't stressing this from the start of the year. And Jarvis said, well, you're right. But you know what? At some point, you look at your record, you're 2-6, and you realize we have to hold each other accountable. And there was a bit of a change there. And every good team that I've ever been around, it's the players who ultimately hold each other accountable. It's the players who demand more of the guy that's standing next to them. It's the players who don't want to disappoint the guy that's lined up next to them. So there is some truth to a team not necessarily having been in a position. I mean, think about a few years ago with Hugh Jackson. How many games did the Browns lose in the fourth quarter? And it was sort of this idea of this young team didn't know how to close out games, didn't know how to win games because they'd never won a game. And you can argue that even though there were all these young guys on the Steelers offense, this defense has a lot of veterans, and the offensive line is very, very veteran. The offensive line is a bunch of older guys, except for one young kid who's been around the Steelers for a few years and has sort of learned that. So you have that. You do need that. You know, you don't. That's why it's always such a joke when people say, oh, can a college team beat an NFL team? You know, it's sort of like until you've done it, until you've been there, it's a rare kid that the moment doesn't cow him. And that's sort of the magic of Duck Hodges, this kid that seemingly is a marginal NFL player, and yet he loves the big moment, and he's got all this moxie, and he's not afraid. But that's not every NFL player.
Aditi, you've been around Mike Tomlin for a long time. You've been around Freddie a little bit. And right now, the fans have kind of turned on Freddie after that loss, even though after the 3 wins, they were starting to say, he gets it, he understands it, and oh, by the way, he gets the rivalry. What have you noticed for Mike Tomlin, the way you've been around him, that he has been able to keep that together? You brought leadership up, but what about when it comes to the coach?
Well, I mean, you know, guys, sometimes I think the head coach doesn't get enough credit, and I think sometimes the head coach gets too much credit. So, again, at the end of the day, it's the players who play, right? And, yes, the coach is responsible for getting the right message to the players. And, sure, I was awfully tough on Mike Tomlin the last few years saying, you know, Antonio Brown only gets to run roughshod over everybody because he's allowed to run roughshod. You get away with what you're allowed to get away with. But there's also, everybody has to grow in, Mike Tomlin is not the same head coach today as he was his first few years when he had a bunch of, you know, he was very lucky. He had a team that had really been molded under Bill Cowher and with a bunch of veteran guys. And so right now, I would argue that this year, as the Steelers have been racked by injury and, you know, they've bid adieu to Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, they don't have their future Hall of Fame quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. They've been without their arguably number one wide receiver and number one running back all for big chunks of the year. I'd argue this is Mike Tomlin's best coaching job. The way that he is able to motivate guys to buy in after a 1-3 start, the way that he's been incredibly hands-on on the defense and changed things from what he has done with the defense the last few years, Mike Tomlin's done a great coaching job. It's not fair to compare Mike Tomlin, who's been a head coach for over a decade, to Freddie Kitchens, who's been a head coach for three quarters of a season.
Is Freddie's job in jeopardy?
If you're a Browns head coach, isn't your job in jeopardy? Like, isn't that just what we've learned?
Well, do you think? Do you think, judging on people you talk to, people you text, what do you believe that Freddie's job is in jeopardy currently?
Well, Freddie doesn't believe his job is in jeopardy, right?
What?
Jarvis Landry told me he doesn't believe his job is in jeopardy. You know, I think we've seen the Haslam family had kind of the quick trigger early in their ownership. Then they gave Hugh Jackson some more time and didn't necessarily earn some rave reviews for doing so. I think that maybe there have to be some changes, but I could see them. I don't think it's a good idea to get rid of a head coach after just 1 year. I don't really ever think, I think that you take a step backwards if you do that. So if you, I don't think that his job is in jeopardy, but I don't know that that means that his whole entire staff or that the way everything has run stays intact.
I would like to agree. I do get nervous though, Aditi, and we got to run, but I just get very nervous about Baker's future and how good he'll be because, like, you know, this year has been almost a wash. Next year, it becomes make or break because then you got to think about other things if he doesn't work out going into next year. So,
okay,
it's a very scary thing.
And you know, Ken, you know very well that I am a huge fan of Lamar Jackson's and Lamar Jackson's demeanor and all of that.
You call me all the time and speak about him and hang up.
Well, I will say this about Baker. Not everything the same way. Not everything is the head coach's fault. Not everything is the quarterback's fault. Baker Mayfield did not get as much time with his star receivers as one would expect when you run timing routes, you need to actually put in time practicing those timing routes. And Baker has taken a lot of flack for being inaccurate. But have you gone back and looked at every single interception or every single incompletion to note, okay, well, did the receiver actually run the route that he was supposed to and show up where he was supposed to, when he was supposed to be there? It's not always all on Baker. And as you saw, the receivers get a little bit, and, you know, it's also not on Baker to make the tough catch. You need your receivers to sometimes make a tough catch for you. And he's certainly getting that out of Jarvis Landry. But, I mean, yeah, you'd like to see better play from Baker, but you'd also like to see better play for some other people. Other than Nick Chubb and the four games we've seen of Kareem Hunt, I mean, can you really unequivocally say, and I think Jarvis has been very, very reliable and dependable, but can you say that everybody's given you everything that you expected them to?
All right, Aditi, we got to move on. Thank you. A lot to react to, and enjoy the Steelers playoff run. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, there she is, Aditi. We'll get to that. A lot of reaction there, because I know in particular she said something there that is going to be very dispiriting to Browns fans. But first, Jeff Thomas with the update.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.